Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in and welcome to COVID 2021. Just kidding. I'll have you know that we actually have a grand total of one story not related to the pandemic. Anyway, we hope you enjoyed the Journalism 3005 final show. We've got a great lineup of exciting news stories ready for your eager ears, but first, please allow me to introduce myself. The name's Neufeld, Josh Neufeld, and I'm tonight's host, your guide to unlocking pandemic Halifax 1 year later. And on behalf of myself and my fellow classmates who worked super hard to bring you these stories, I sincerely hope you enjoy. Off the top, we're going to take you to the coast. Hear that surf? Although it's getting a little warmer outside now, most people probably aren't considering taking a dip in the ocean anytime soon. But Will McLernan has a story of a woman who didn't just take on waves this winter, but a surfing publication that had the audacity to say, leave it to men. Will?
Josh, it doesn't matter how cold it is outside. If there's waves, you'll find Lisa Rockwell surfing. Temperatures could be well below zero, it could be snowing, she'll still be gliding across the ocean surface. While she is used to riding waves, this fall she created waves of her own while fighting sexism in surf media.
Rockwell is currently living in Victoria, BC, but this past fall she was researching some Nova Scotia surf spots for when she came back home to visit family. She was using the popular international surf website Surfline. She couldn't believe that among the information on winter surfing, a line saying, you should leave the girlfriend at home.
I was just checking out beaches that I could surf when I went back to visit my family. And then, you know, it's giving you advice and then just sort of this like non sequitur of like, oh, and like leave the girlfriend at home. This whole idea that women can't do sports or like, or that like they can't surf, like it really hit hard for me. It just made me so angry.
Rockwell knows plenty of women who surf all winter long. She immediately sent Surfline an email venting her frustrations. After that, Surfline removed the line from their guide.
Basically just said, it's just like, I like reading about my surf breaks without the sexism, and I just asked them to do better. And they wrote me back with such a stock answer that made me really angry. It's like, we are working to remove content like this, but wouldn't actually admit that what they were saying was sexist.
Rockwell let the Nova Scotian female surfers know about the comment by posting in their mentorship group. This led to an outpouring of photos on Instagram tagging Surfline of these women surfing in gnarly winter conditions. These photos included women braving frigid waters during their pregnancies, trekking through snow to get to the beach, and surfing massive waves while wearing 6 millimeters of neoprene. Colette Robertson posted photos of her with icicles dangling from her hair. She doubts the author had ever been to Nova Scotia to witness the strong female presence in the province's surf community.
Just kind of makes you ask, like, has this person even been here? Like, because if they had been here, they probably would have seen at least a few women out there. It just felt very disconnected from my actual experience of living and surfing here year-round.
We contacted Surfline for an interview. In response to email, they declined to comment at this time. While the women are glad the line was removed, they were upset that Surfline never apologized for their sexist narrative. Robertson says the lack of equal gender representation is not just a Surfline issue, it's a problem in surf media. There's a strong community of rad female cold water surfers in our province, and they want surf media to take notice. For The Signal, I'm Will McLernan.
That's an excellent story, Will. It's always a treat to see people standing up for themselves, the things they love, and the rights of those around them. And now, back to what you've all been waiting for, COVID-19 related stories. In getting back to business, we're going to literally talk about business. As many of you are likely aware, many Nova Scotia businesses had to close their doors when the provincial government closed the borders. Joe Thompson spoke with the owners and operators of a barbershop to find out how they've been keeping their doors open. Joe?
Stu Cochran is the owner and operator of Blue Collar Barbershop in Halifax, Nova Scotia. When the COVID-19 pandemic began this time last year, he knew he needed to make some changes if he wanted to stay afloat.
Like, I renovated my shop. So now it's perfectly laid out for social distancing. There's tons of room, easier to clean surfaces. I doubled up my usual stock for my inventory for selling hair products.
In In another part of town, Marge Torrens is a senior stylist at a high-end clothing store. She says her clients' needs have evolved with the pandemic.
They're all sitting in their homes on Zoom, so that need is gone, which is weird. Like, you're not doing the events anymore. You don't have that kind of business. But on the other hand, other people's needs have changed. All the snowbirds have had to stay put. People need color for their Zoom calls. People have changed their physique during this. And some people have just really embraced being into the leisure vibe. So it's changed a lot. Thankfully, people still have needs, which is great.
Stu Cochran still has a need to interact with the clients in his barbershop. While he understands that there are rules in place to protect everyone, he misses the banter that used to fill the room.
Barbering is a very social thing. I'm not normally a very social person, but I go to work and I thrive in there. So it's like, I'm definitely looking forward to firing it back up again to full speed.
Thanks, Joe. Always great to be updated on how things are looking. And given the distressing state of my hair, it's also great to know about a potential spot to clean things up. Anyway, doing business is great and all, but so is finding time to de-stress. Spring has sprung again, a welcome relief, and one of the few changes Haligonians were expecting after a year of uncertainty. What people may not have been expecting is where some people are turning for comfort. Marianne McLarty with some distressing numbers. Marianne?
Josh, Stats Canada says that since the start of the pandemic, Canadians aged 15 to 25 are least likely to report good mental health. That's due to sudden shifts to online learning, unstable employment, and social isolation. We've also heard that some have found comfort in things like yoga, baking, long walks in the park. But there are some students seeking it in more unusual places.
Listen to your intuition, speak your truth, and see what's behind.
Chimes greet visitors who come to see Linda Derrick. Behind a beaded curtain, she sits at a small wooden desk lit only with a single lamp. For over 30 years, Derrick has been reading tarot cards, but she says she has never seen it as popular as it is right now, specifically with teenagers.
We've been so isolated, and the normal things that give us comfort, we're not finding. Coming in and having your cards read and having it actually resonate, it gives something to hang on to, especially when we're living in a void.
Olivia Makowski and McKenna Mann, first-year students at Dalhousie University, just finished their first tarot reading session with Derrick.
Because I don't know how to explain it, but it was like what I wanted to hear, but not exactly what I wanted to hear. So it was like a sense of comfort, but like a sense of honesty at the same time.
Yeah, it was like a piece of...
Down the stairs in the main shop, crystals dangle from the ceiling as Pamela McKinnis stocks shelves. Her small boutique is full of potions, books of spells, and healing stones. She says since reopening post-lockdown, business has doubled, and most of her customers are under the age of 25.
In times like this, we feel kind of powerless, I think, and this kind of spiritual path is very empowering for a person, so you feel like you are doing things to help yourself and others, and that gives you a little bit more control.
Both women hope their clients leave with a better sense of control and well-being as they head back into another month of unknowns. For The Signal, I'm Marianne McLarty. Josh?
Man, I wonder if the tarot reader saw COVID coming. Personally, if it were me, I would have panicked. That being said, I felt a lot better since leaving my 6 months of lockdown in Toronto and coming back to Halifax, but enough about me. It would seem that panic is not just the domain of the two-legged. Hannah Bing and Carla McKenzie, please tell us more.
Thanks, Josh. You must be enjoying the freedoms of the East Coast since returning from Toronto. I think Carly just spoke to someone who isn't enjoying as much freedom recently.
Oliver patiently waits for his owner, Jocelyn Leon, to come home every day. Oliver was 6 months old when the COVID-19 pandemic started. Leon was home for 3 months. When she went back to work, she noticed a change in her well-trained dog's behavior.
It's more so now because we spent so much time at home. He's not used to us leaving. So now when we leave, he kind of freaks out a little bit. And since he's been peeing on all the carpets, we put him in his pen, which kind of makes him more anxious.
Former vet technician Janelle McKay says separation anxiety almost always ends in destruction. New toys, carpets, socks, and pillows peed on and destroyed. Leon says Oliver often shakes and shivers when he's not cold, and whimpers for no reason. She says even a shut door or checking the mailbox can trigger this behavior.
He'll just kind of sleep by the window at the door and just kind of wait for us to get home.
Pet owners aren't the only ones noticing the impact of the pandemic, right, Hannah?
That's right, Carly. Ailish Sullivan works as a coach at Dogtopia, a dog daycare in Halifax. She says the switch for these dogs from being isolated and home with their owners all the time to being with other people and animals at daycare has created behavioral challenges for many of the dogs.
Dogs are really like people. They get anxious, they get sad. And with all of the uncertainty and changes in their lifestyle, they show that at daycare by getting frustrated with other dogs.
Sullivan says, often the dog's anxieties come out as aggressive behaviors, and because of this, they have had to change the way they operate at daycare.
We've started implementing behavior plans for a lot of the dogs because they're exhibiting those aggressive and possessive behaviors. It's really a shame because all of the dogs are really great.
So Josh, if your dog starts acting up, you're not alone.
And it might be time to work on re-socializing them to get that happy pet back.
Thanks for the tip. Sadly, my landowner doesn't allow for large pets, but I know a lot of people who could really use this information. You know, if you find yourself worried about businesses, pets, or how to relax during the pandemic, you're probably not thinking about juggling or cheering as someone swings from a trapeze. But you could be, especially at the Halifax Circus School. The founder of the Halifax Circus, Mike Hirschbach, says that there's a healing power of performance in times of difficulty. Adam Innes was checking that out. Adam?
A year into the coronavirus pandemic, a bustling crowd enjoying itself on a night out is impossible. Yet, performers are still rehearsing and taking lessons at the Halifax Circus. In their gymnasium, where colorful ribbons dangle over carefully sanitized tumbling mats, people learn aerials, acrobatics, and juggling. Despite the pandemic, classes are fully booked.
You know, we're always looking for silver linings. Is there anything that good that came out of this situation? After all these years, we have a strong, strong team of teachers who really excel at their craft, are very skillful, and love to teach.
That's Mike Hirschbach. He spent most of his life performing in circuses around the world, and 16 years ago, he started one of his own in Halifax. Adult students pay for lessons at the circus, but Hirschbach puts a lot of the revenue toward providing free circus lessons to children with various life challenges. Hirschbach says performance is important, especially during difficult times. Almost 20 years ago now, he performed in the wake of a different tragedy that rocked the world.
So in 2001 to 2003, I was a performer on tour with the Cirque du Soleil. So we were in Boston on 9/11. And one of the planes that hit the Trade Center left from Boston. I remember very, very clearly walking down the street that morning, and there were cars pulled over to the side of the road, and people just had their radio on. They had their car doors open so everybody could hear, right? Because people, they had to pull over. They were just in shock. The headquarters of the Cirque du Soleil sent a message out to all the shows that were performing. Each show will make a choice as to whether they want to perform tonight or not. So there was a conversation that was going that whole day, which was, do we perform? Is it right to perform on a day like today? Is this or do we join in the mourning? Is it proper to perform in a time like this?
In the end, Cirque du Soleil went on that night, despite the somber atmosphere.
Performance isn't just about entertaining people. It's not just about providing them with some kind of visual spectacle. What a performance does at its best is it takes people out of their lives, takes them somewhere else for a certain amount of time, and hopefully has some kind of impact on them even afterwards, which is that they walk out feeling better.
Hirschbach says he intends to keep making people feel better through performance. Currently, the Halifax Circus is preparing to take part in a cross-Canada streaming event where children with unique life challenges will show off their circus skills. We'll see what else this next year has in store for Hirschbach and his Halifax Circus. Back to you, Josh.
Thanks, Adam, for the story. It sure turned my frown upside down. Rather than doing an aerial somersault onto a tiny floor mat below you, some people would rather eat. And some people like to eat and film it at the same time, all while showing off their latest hairstyles and outfits. And the more exotic the location, the better. But what happens when you're stuck in your own backyard? It seems some vloggers are finding fun around Halifax and bumping up some local business traffic with their TikTok posts. Claire and Kaya are here to tell us more.
Well, Josh, some people have been vlogging or video blogging their daily lives around the city. As we both know, Haligonians are enjoying freedoms many Canadians in other provinces don't have right now. Starting last fall, Kaya Yusinoya and I have noticed a lot more of these TikToks, and even several accounts dedicated to Halifax vlogs.
Hey guys, back at it again with another highly requested vlog that nobody actually requested, but here we go. My friend
Will Oliver makes TikTok videos about his life in Halifax, highlighting his favorite local spots along the way. He never thought his vlogs would get noticed by a large audience. When his first Halifax vlog got some attention, he decided to make more. Right now, Will has more than 3,000 followers, and his videos have accumulated nearly 200,000 likes. Kaya and I met Will at the Halifax waterfront. He was very well dressed, with a long brown coat, high-waisted navy blue trousers, and white sneakers. He makes fashion videos, too. We asked him about the trend of Halifax vlogs.
I think it's really important to value the places where you're living, and I think it's really easy to lose sight of when you can get up and go anywhere you want. But right now, when everyone's more confined to one area, I think it's allowed a lot of people to really appreciate what's around them. So I think it's definitely contributed to the trend of vlogging in Halifax and making Halifax TikToks, because everyone wants to appreciate the space we have here and the luxury of being able to go to these restaurants and doing fun things and not just having to stay home.
Will is from St. John, New Brunswick, and moved to Halifax 3 years ago. Initially, he had his sights set on moving to a larger city, but now he's considering settling down in Halifax.
A city is what you make it, so if you want to make it a place where you're always looking to get out, I think it's really easy to not be happy with what's around you. It's not in LA or Toronto or Montreal, but we do have a lot of really special spots and things that are really fun around us that I think people take for granted because they're so focused on getting out and moving to a bigger city, as I once was.
Will, like many other Halifax TikTok vloggers, includes his favorite local restaurants and retailers in his videos.
Then we went for brunch at the Cheeky Neighbor on Quinpool. This is our go-to brunch spot, and I always...
We wanted to know if local businesses were noticing any TikTok-related traffic. Drew Vogley owns the Cheeky Neighbor Diner, a local Halifax business that opened just a few months before the pandemic hit. Drew spoke with us in his bright and photographable diner, wearing a floral shirt that complemented the place's pink and green color scheme. He said that the social media app has definitely brought a couple people to his diner.
There was like a week where quite a few people had come in and said, I saw it on TikTok. And even there was a group, I remember, because I was serving at the time, and they didn't even look at the menu, just like four people all got chicken waffles. It was hilarious. And then I asked them, because it's like pretty, you know, pretty rare to have someone not even look at a menu. And they said they had seen it on TikTok.
Maybe because people can't travel right now, they're rediscovering what's great about the city they live in. Whatever's behind this TikTok trend, it's certainly given me some ideas for local places to stop by. And just so you know, Josh, Will's TikTok featuring the Cheeky Neighbor Diner got more than 20,000 views. So, back to you. With The Signal in Halifax, this is Claire Henry and Kaya Yusinoya.
Man, this has given me a lot of inspiration. Maybe it's time I make a COVID vlog about delivering a journalism podcast. Would anyone enjoy that? Anyway, on behalf of myself, Hannah, Carly, Claire, Kaya, Adam, Marianne, Will, and Joe, thanks for taking the time to hear these stories and listen in today. This is your host, the one and only Josh Neufeld, signing off, wishing you the best of health, and saying, see you next time. Adios, my friends.